You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source of teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, no one's stepped forward, male or female, to fill in the John slot.
Come on, people.
Yeah. Oh, man. How was your week?
Oh, it was great.
Really? What happened that was good?
One of my coworkers listens to the podcast.
Okay.
And so on Thursday, she found out about my birthday.
A couple days after the fact, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was okay. Monday. So I'm sure I've said it before. There's one person in our office who is not family. It's a family-owned business, and one person is not family. And therefore, should there ever be any oversight, it's always her fault.
All right.
And so the automatic reaction was, how could you forget? And not, oh, we all forgot. So I felt kind of bad about that. But sort of par for the course.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, yesterday I had a total rock star moment.
Oh, good. Okay.
At the COTESOL meeting, we were at the beginning of the workshop. We had to discuss sort of our own issues of getting students to talk, because yesterday's topic, as I've said before, was getting shy Korean students to talk. And the girl next to me said, are you Jennifer?
Oh, really? Okay.
Because she recognized my voice.
Wow, great. Okay.
Yeah. That's hi, cool. Gina.
You're the Jennifer.
I'm the Jennifer. That's wow, okay. Right.
And was the question on her lips, though, is like, is Carl really tall?
No.
No. Oh, okay. All right.
But she did say this is her favorite podcast. So
oh, really?
She's totally awesome in my book.
All right. But just to disabuse people, I'm not tall.
You're taller than me.
Well, okay, right. You know, I always find on the internet when I meet people I've just talked to online, that was the first thing out of their mouth. They're like, I thought you'd be taller. I'd be like, what, do I write tall? You know, I write at a 6 foot level, but I'm like 5'7", so, you know, I don't know. But which is sort of better than, you know, L. Ron Hubbard, back when he was a science fiction author. People would always meet him, and they would be like, you're such a big guy. I thought you were just a small little man, you know?
You know, I thought you'd look like some dork who sits there in the dark with the fluorescent light, writing science fiction and or creating a strange church.
So I thought, I'm the opposite of L. Ron Hubbard. I project maybe something bigger than I really am. But, yeah. Oh, man. Birthdays, I always have a calendar and hang on the wall calendar. My birthday, June 22, I always have it circled with stars around it and arrows, you know.
You're one of the people that like wears a little one of those goofy headbands or something to like let people know it's my birthday.
Well, not quite, but you know, I don't do it anymore, but I used to work in a much smaller office with a smaller subset of teachers, and I would put their birthday down on the calendar, and then when it was their birthday I would buy them a cake. And so we'd have cake for their birthday. And cakes aren't really that expensive here. I mean, compared to...
Oh, the cakes at our school are, because we get really delicious cakes.
But if you go to, like, you know, Paris Baguette or something like that, they're not really that expensive. And, you know, all coming back to that, you know, Korean teachers work twice your hours for half your pay, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So, but if you buy them a birthday cake on their birthday, they certainly can't hate you, can they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Remember my one teacher... Korean English teacher. She's like, Carl, not even my mother remembered my birthday. Yeah. Which is kind of another little cultural thing here sometimes that, you know, when people get older, the birthdays become less important, you know.
Yeah.
When they're
yeah.
kids, it's important. There's certain milestones. Like, you know, we have yeah. the milestones, but once they become adults, it's usually not quite, yeah. people don't care anymore about the birthday, but yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten an email from my twin sister about our birthday.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But, you know, I got emails from my parents.
Wow.
The rest of my family, they're sort of off the hook because I don't know most of their birthdays anyway.
Most of the people in my family have the knack of being born just after major holidays.
Oh, wow.
Or at least on. Well, my brother, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. My dad, May 2, so day after May Day. My mother, December 26,
Boxing Day.
Yeah, which is the worst possible day to yeah. have a birthday. Because a lot of people think Christmas is the worst, but, you know, at least people are still in the mood to celebrate. But when yeah. it's the day after, especially in a French-Canadian family where it's like, you know, the parents have spent all night drinking and now it's your birthday and nobody's in a mood for anything.
You know, except just, be quiet.
Yeah, sleeping. So, yeah, so my poor mother. Yeah, my sister, January 6th, a few days after yeah. the New Year.
The 12th day of Christmas.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't yeah. know that. All right, so yeah. Me, I'm June 22. I don't think that... Well, June 21st, right? Longest day of the year.
Yeah.
A lot of times it also falls on June 22nd, so yeah. Ugh. But this week's not been a good week for me.
Oh, why?
Sad note. Well, with a bit of happy news. The woman who does the voiceover for the podcast, you know, she has a little 5-year-old boy. And, you know, those little watch batteries?
Yeah.
Called button batteries. He put one in his nose.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you don't even realize how dangerous these things are. I was researching it on the internet. And what happens is, you know, little boys will put anything up their nose.
Yeah,
especially
sure.
at age of 5, right? I mean, I remember when I was about that age, I stuck some balled up string up my nose. And
excellent.
You know, I was worried for a couple of days and I'd sneeze it out eventually. I'm like, ooh, bleh. You know? But,
did you really?
Yeah. And so he put the battery up his nose. I don't know how long it was in his little nasal cavity, but... she took him to the doctor, and, you know, the doctor got it out, and he looked at the battery, and it didn't look like it was broken or compromised in any way. Sent them home, you know, it'll be fine. But, you know, what I'm kind of pissed off at is, I don't know if there's anything like poison control here, right? You know, it's like
yeah,
a child has swallowed right. or ingested something. You know, why would there be, right?
Right.
You know, so there's nothing like...
My child just ate the poisoned things that the Ajumma gave me to stick in my apartment. What should I do?
Yeah.
But
if you go to any poison control website, you know, remember in high school, usually chemistry, you do the experiment where you run a live wire through water, and what does it produce? It produces...
An electric charge.
Hydrogen and oxygen.
Oh.
Right. So that's what happens when the battery sits in the nose, is it begins to react with the moisture, creates hydrogen, which then recombines and creates a base, an alkaloid, which is a corrosive, like
yeah.
Acid. So it ate away his nasal cartilage. And so then it'd be, you know, his nose started running. And, you know, mother, first couple of days, thinks, well, every kid has a cold at this age, you know, when they're going to school, and they always transfer it to their ESL teachers. But but when it wasn't then followed by traditional cold symptoms, she took him to the hospital, and that's what they found out. So, I don't know, but I'm just like, you know, the primary care doctor is like,
yeah,
just can't even look on a poison control site. Like, I Googled battery, nasal cavity, do it yourself. First hit that comes up is exactly what happened to him, written by 3 Korean doctors, even a study. Yeah, it can't even do a literature search, let alone, you know, what could be the effect of, gosh, I don't know, a live battery sitting in a moist nasal cavity for a day, you know. So yeah, so
well, yeah. And that, as much as I love the fact of that Korea has a national healthcare system, you know, as an American, I have a very strong appreciation
right.
of national healthcare. that is unfortunately one of the results. The doctors get like, if you have national health care, you pay $3.50 for a visit.
Okay.
Or roughly, you know, it's 3,500 won.
All right.
And the doctors do get some small supplement per patient.
Right, yeah.
So much like an HMO doctor in the States, their primary concern is numbers.
Yeah.
How many can you get through the door in a single day? And they really take absolutely no time.
Yeah, they work Saturdays and
yeah,
work 6 days a week, long hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, granted, yeah, the doctors here do work a long time, but
yeah,
yeah, long and the short of it is don't trust primary care doctors here for anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? I always go to the American doctor at Yonsei, and I don't know. But what do you do? What do you do for healthcare? You're in Bundang.
I don't go to the doctor.
Jennifer. Jennifer.
No, when I first came to Korea, I didn't really understand the system.
Okay.
And, of course, being my first year of teaching kids, I got sick all the time.
Right.
And I would go to the doctor, and they would give me one day of medicine. Because this was back before the split with the pharmacist.
Okay.
So they wouldn't actually give you a prescription. They would just give you the medicine.
Right.
One day's worth at a time.
Really?
And they would not give you, like, a timeline. They would just say, come back and see me tomorrow.
Wow.
And, like, you'd know that one of the things was an antibiotic.
Okay.
And, you know that you can't just stop taking antibiotics unless you just want to screw up your body even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're also really big on shots, you know.
They
like to pretend that you're in a coma and they have to give you a shot of those antibiotics.
Right, yeah.
So I just stopped going to the doctor. And so now the only... I haven't been in 3 years.
Oh, okay. I go for my annual checkup, and once a year I get a chest X-ray, just because I've got a non-cancerous lump in my lung. So I just got to make sure it's not growing for whatever reason.
Carl.
What?
Are you working in a coal mine?
It's called hamartoma. It's just something that happens to random people. Just sort of like, kind of like. So cartilage kind of in the forms in the lung. I don't know. They can grow to pretty big sizes, but they're not cancer. I had a biopsy and all that sort of stuff. It was when I was in Seattle. It's my fun time experience with the American medical system. It was great because I had software company, gold plated healthcare system.
Awesome.
You know, you want another CT scan? Real? I mean, do I need one? I mean, why not just get a chest X-ray?
Because you're covered.
Yeah, I know, exactly. They're like looking at me like, but you won't cost you anything. You know, going to my, you know, my primary care doctor was like a $10 deductible. Like that was more expensive than the CT scan, which was zero.
Yeah, I used to work at an MRA place.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it was sort of sad what the doctors would do because it was doctor owned.
Okay, oh, right.
Which I really think should be illegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they would send some poor guy for, four MRIs, different body parts, just to rule things out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would approach the healthcare system like I approach the Canadian healthcare system, where it's sort of, you self-ration, kind of. You're like, okay, I've got a cold, but I don't really got to go to the doctor for a cold, I don't, a lot of people will, but most people today understand that you don't go running to the doctor for every little ache and pain, that it's going to cost us all in the long run. So I've sort of approached the American medical system in that fashion, and I would just get these blank stares why.
don't you know that there's some guy in an HMO crying for this very test?
I know. Yeah. I just remember when my primary care doctor was like, sure you don't want, lung surgery? Resection, I think they call it, where they kind of remove part of your lung just to get rid of this lump. And I'm like...
No, thanks.
I'm like, well, I really enjoyed my, my biopsy, which is absolutely true. I did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun. It was a day off. It didn't hurt. And and I'm like, I don't know. Let me look into it. So I got the pamphlet. And then it's got all these pictures, at two months after you've had your lung surgery, you can go to the end of the driveway and collect your mail. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's not, if it was a week, just kind of in and out.
Right.
I can take a week off, Nurses come in three times a day, feed me. I'm there, you know. But if it's going to be like, oh.
At 6 months, you can walk around the block.
Exactly. You can go back to the gym. No. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, my grandmother had half of one of her lungs removed lung cancer. So I
passed on that little option. Yeah.
Actually, they're sort of doing the same thing in Korea right now, trying to convince people that you don't need to go to the doctor for a cold because it's so cheap that they'll go and they'll get the little nasal vacuum. I don't know if you've experienced that.
No.
But if you have a cold, you can go to the doctor and they have like a snot vacuum.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of like, you know, the little red snot bulbs that they use for babies?
No.
Oh, well, because babies can't blow their nose.
Right,
there's
sure, okay.
Like this little red bulb you stick in their nose and squeeze out the snot. Well, they have like a mechanized version of that here. And so it works for like half a day. You go and get like all the snot sucked out of your sinuses.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So you feel a lot better for, you know, half a day.
All right.
And so a lot of my kids will go like every day when they have a cold.
All right.
Because God forbid they stay home for one day and just rest.
All right. At least it sounds like it has more biologic plausibility than coffee enemas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would do that over the coffee enema.
Yeah.
And what's that doing exactly? Well, but yeah. You know, my medical horror story, but one of my friends, she went to the doctor. I don't know if I told this story before, but I'll tell it again. It's worth retelling. She went to the doctor to get some pills. She suffered from menstrual cramps pretty badly. So the doctor's like, you know what will cure that? She's like, what? If I inject Japanese placenta into your uterus. And she's like, how much is that going to cost me? Well, it'll cost a lot. And she's like, I don't think so, really. I just want my, you know, she calls them water pills. I guess diuretics or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. So the doctor's like, well, what if I pay for your placenta injections? And she's like, no, actually, just give me my pills and let me go.
Right. So, I don't want another person / animal's placenta in my body.
Yeah. So I never went back to that guy again.
Yeah.
All right. But I guess the little boy, he should be released today.
How long has he been in the hospital?
I think since Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, poor little guy. I went to see him on Saturday. And I brought him a little electronic keyboard. And I brought him one of those little like flashlight headbands you wear. Because he's in the hospital. It's dark. Bought him a little hand puppet toy and Charlotte's Web in Korean his mom can read to him, stuff like that. But yeah,
I think you should bring him the noisiest, most annoying toys you can find, because then he might almost be annoying as the family members that are visiting the other people in the room.
Yeah. Well, when I went there was nobody actually, no other family in the other places.
Oh, okay.
Pretty nice. It's all a ward. They don't even like a children's ward. It's just, you know.
Yeah, just stuck in there.
Yeah, just in there with a man woman and and poor woman who does the podcast or the voiceover, she there's just like a little cot next to his bed where she sort of basically sleeps and
like a little trundle bed.
Yeah, her mom and dad sort of bring her change of clothes and stuff like that. Yeah, not a happy time. And she's working full time and has to take time off of work in the busy season. Yeah.
Well, and they're not understanding about that at all anyway.
No, they're not. So she's even worried about her job, their contract renewals coming up, and oh my God, So I don't know. But he looked quite happy when I got there, though, because I think he knew he was going home the next day, and you know, and he had a little electronic keyboard now he could play with, but yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who have not experienced a Korean hospital, your family member does what a CNA or a certified nurse's aide would do in the States. Like, they bring your food and feed you, bathe you, any sort of that type of care that you would need. It's up to your family to do.
Yeah.
So since he's so young, she's sort of stuck there. You know, she can't go to work and just come and visit him in the evenings.
All right. Well, our snack of the week. Now, I thought this was actually just walnut milk, but in fact, it's like peanuts and walnuts.
And it's soy milk.
Soy, okay. So it's a whole combination of nuts. So it's almost like V8. V8 juice. 8 vegetables mixed into one juice.
This is like 8 nuts.
Yeah. N8. Something. Yeah. All right. So, one shot. That's what they say.
One shot.
That's what they say here when they drink. One shot.
Your face is not making me want to open this any faster. Yeah. I have to say.
Well, you know, let me bias you.
I'm very picky about soy milk at the best of times.
Maybe it's just the weather. It's kind of hot.
It's not bad. It's no Vegemil B.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right.
But I think because Vegemil B has about another tablespoon of sugar.
All right. So you're not as offended by this as I am. That means I'm not in a really good mood. So
I would definitely use this on muesli. If I were having muesli for breakfast, I would definitely put this on there.
Oh, okay. All right. Muesli? Oh, there's muesli. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm not a fan of muesli.
Muesli?
All right. What's it?
I like muesli, but I hate milk. So this would actually be a good combination.
It says, Yangua, do you. Dubu is tofu, do you is soy milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Soy beverage, that is.
Oh, all right.
Apparently the dairy industry has sued for the right to have the sole claim to milk as a word.
What about coconut milk?
No. Coconut beverage. Yet another reason to hate dairy and everyone associated with it.
Another one of those. You know, you've been in Korea a long time.
That's America.
No, I'm just, when you show your dissatisfaction by sucking air through your teeth.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, I gave that red bean frappuccino another chance. It comes in two forms. It's the cream and the coffee red bean.
And what is the difference between the cream?
Well, the cream is probably just, you know, the red bean syrup plus, like, you know, whipped cream and ice. So, and the other one's just like, you know, espresso ice and the red bean syrup. The red bean coffee variation's moderately better, but still it's not particularly, yeah. I don't think it's going to be as big a seller overseas as the green tea.
I cannot imagine it would be a seller anywhere outside of Korea and Japan.
Yeah.
Unless China likes red bean products as well.
Yeah. Well, I noticed nowhere on the actual sort of official promotional stuff that they make the Pat Bing Su connection. But then sort of in, you know, the hand letter that they kind of, you see, like, you know, sort of Pat Bing Su mat, sort of Pat Bing Su taste. They sort of are trying to make that connection. So, I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, I think everything with red beans in it has a pot bing su mat.
Okay, there you go.
Pot bing su is just red beans, shaved ice, and whatever sort of random crap they want to throw in there on top of it.
All right. We got an email a couple weeks ago or last week from a listener, and he just came to Korea on vacation a couple weeks with his girlfriend. I believe his girlfriend's Korean. I think he's in Chicago, he said. And so they came to sort of, you know, meet the family and tour around the mother country. And he's been listening to the podcast. I think he was very complimentary. Sort of he kind of downloaded a sampling of all the podcasts on Korea and found ours the most informative and the funniest. But there's not many, so it's almost like saying, you know, Coke.
You're the best of the three.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you're the best vanilla. Because you know? It's that vanilla, and then it's that, you know, other vanilla. And
yeah.
I don't know, yeah. So, but thank you for the kind words. But he still found the podcast helpful, even though it was just sort of two-week visits and, you know, T-money cards and using the ATMs and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. So then that sort of prompted the idea for a main topic about tourist places, kind of a little discussion about, you know, if you're coming here on vacation and, you know, you listen to the podcast for that reason, you know, what are some of the places to see?
So, well, if you have time to go around the country, I would definitely say go to Gyeongju. And in fact, if you're living in Korea for a year or so, I would definitely say go spend a weekend in Gyeongju. Ask your students about it. They all have been there on vacation. They call it the Living Museum. The entire town is preserved.
Was that where there's that folk village?
No, no, no. Gyeongju is way down south.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a hassle to get to, which might put you off, but once you're there, you can take cabs relatively cheaply. If you have your wits about you at all, you can manage to take buses. We took buses when we went, city buses.
Okay.
Because we were, like, the focus was how is it cheapest you can do Gyeongju.
Oh, okay.
And, like, we stayed at the Y, which we got a two-bedroom, one-bathroom suite for $40,000 a night.
All right.
And we've been around. There's a huge museum. There's all kinds of... Too many things to list to see, but there's lots of stuff you can see. It's definitely a whole weekend's worth of stuff. And if you have the time and are willing to travel outside of the big cities, then it's a good place to go.
Wait, you said city buses. You didn't mean taking city buses from Seoul to...
We took the bus to Gyeongju, and then within Gyeongju, we took city buses around.
All right.
Not a single taxi.
All right. You know, one of those projects I have in the future, when I'm back in Canada and divorced, I'm not married, but I just figure my life is going to be divorced somehow.
Got to plan ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm divorced and out of a job, and maybe, you know, I have a, you know, severance package or something. I got this idea that I want to try to get from Toronto to my hometown of Windsor. It's about a 4-hour drive on the highway. Just by taking public city buses.
So that take you like a week.
Yeah, so because there's always that overlap. You know, Toronto sort of overlaps into Mississauga. Mississauga kind of overlaps into, you know, Oakville, Hamilton. You know, the buses always, city buses always go into the next community. So,
oh, wow.
Is there a way to take a city bus and keep transferring, you know, and get all the way to Windsor? When I tell people this, they just look at me like,
you're nuts.
Yeah. You know, Carl.
Greyhound is a painful enough experience.
Yeah, like, you won't even get married to get divorced if you reveal this right. Idea. No one's going to want to marry you. And I'm like, okay, I'll keep it on the QT. The DL, the down low.
Yeah, you got to use the new lingo.
All right, yeah. All right. My top tourist spot is the Gyeongbokgung Palace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about probably the best place, I think.
Yeah, especially if you go on a big holiday like Chuseok or Seollal, they have the reenactments, historical reenactments in costume.
Okay.
All very nice. Yeah.
Probably two good things about Gyeongbokgung Palace is, one, the price is right. It's like about 1,000 won.
Yeah, you can't beat the price of Korean museums.
Yeah, it sneaks up a tiny bit, the entrance fee, but last time I checked, it was about 1,000 won. Not even probably 2,000 won right now. Maybe 2,000 won. Who knows? $2, yeah.
Won't break the bank.
Yeah. So, and it's huge. I mean, you can spend half a day there sort of wandering around. Then there's like a little folk museum inside where you can sort of go around the museum. And it's best to go on a really nice day.
Yeah.
You know, not sort of when it's rainy and stuff like that. But, the front half of the palace is quite rocky, like not a lot of trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you like kind of the Forbidden City thing from, you know, the Last Emperor, the Last Emperor, you know, that movie.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of reminds you a lot of, that sort of, yeah. And then the back half of the palace is a lot of trees and some stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely that's a good deal. Gyeongbokgung Palace or Gyeongbokgung Subway Station. It's even got a subway station named after it. Line number 3. I believe there's a Starbucks kind of south.
I'm sure there's a Starbucks very close by.
Yeah, there is.
If not actually inside the palace itself.
Now you were in the army, but I don't know if this appeals to you, but it's called the War Memorial.
Actually, I would like to go there.
You've never been there?
I haven't been. Several of my friends have been.
All right. It's called War Memorial, but it's like a museum, war museum. Yeah, and I guess maybe Canada, if you went to Ottawa, there's like the War Museum in Ottawa, and I don't know, London has the Imperial War Museum, along those sort of lines.
Yeah.
The cool thing, though, is the admission to the palace, or the War Memorial, I don't know, it's maybe about 10 bucks, man one, But outside, they got this free static display of all the military hardware and stuff like that, which is really kind of cool, like tanks and planes. And, you know, the little choppers from MASH?
Yeah.
They got one of those. Yeah. Yeah. Like they've got like a, B, I don't know, like a B-47 bomber. Like,
wow.
Yeah, like huge-ass planes. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And they also have a war museum, which is not right there, but is sort of nearby there. I can't tell you exactly.
It's the same thing. It's a war memorial / war museum.
Is it? Like a 3-story building?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's all together. Yeah, and that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So then my Korean teacher led me astray. She told me it was nearby.
Well, she's wrong. Yeah, and that you get to Samgak-ji subway station, Samgak-ji, or Noksa-pyeong. Samgak-ji is line 6, World Cup line. Line four, light blue, and Noksa-pyeong is line 6, the World Cup line. Noksa-pyeong is good because there's that taco place, little taco. Oh,
and there's one of the used bookstores.
The expensive one, though.
Yeah, the expensive one.
Yeah,
but
which has, it's got a really bizarre name, something like
Foreign Books.
Foreign Bookstores for Foreigners, or something. It's got this really, really long, wordy, accurate title.
But also there's Petra's.
Petra's as a...
Which is Middle Eastern food. It used to be an all-you-can-eat buffet, but I went there a couple weeks ago and it is no longer. Probably too many soldiers took advantage of the all-you-can-eatness.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah. That would be devastating, I think.
Because, they had like lamb and stuff all-you-can-eat.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good deal here because lamb is kind of hard to find and be expensive. Yeah. Yeah, the lamb is...
But you know what? If you go to the Middle Eastern markets...
Okay.
There's a Middle Eastern grocery store that's right next to What the Book.
Right, yes.
And
yes.
They have lamb dirt cheap.
Okay.
Like, cheaper than hamburger meat.
All right.
So, FYI.
All right. Let's see. The Modern Art Museum's kind of cool, but that's a real hike out. It's at the Seoul Grand Park Station.
Yeah.
Called Seoul Grand Park, but it's not actually in Seoul. It's so far south that...
And it's not actually grand, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's a big park. Park's kind of cool itself, Seoul Grand Park. It's got a little petting zoo. It's got a nice zoo there, too, even, which is... It's not the zoo mission.
Nice
that
for
expensive.
Korea.
Yeah. But, but it's kind of... price is right. And the museum, the Modern Art Museum, it's like... God, the admission's like under a buck, like 800 won. It's crazy cheap, and it's got the really famous piece of art. Who's that? Who's that famous Korean artist? Pink.
I don't know.
The Fluxus guy. He died recently.
Oh, him.
Pink Nam June. Something.
Oh yeah. It's got Peck in there somewhere.
Yeah. The Fluxus guy. He used to Andy Warhol, the Beatles. He was big guy during that era. And so they got a really famous piece by him. All these televisions sort of stacked up like a, I don't know, like a ziggurat or something like that. That's kind of cool. Yeah. And but that's a real hike out there. Downside, not close to a Starbucks. Yeah. Seoul Museum Art, that's a good one. That's right near City Hall Station, near Deoksegung Palace.
Which is another one.
Yeah, Deoksegung Palace. But if you only have time to see one palace.
Of course, that would be your number two choice, but still.
Actually, my number two choice is Cheongdeok Palace, which is kind of like east of Gyeongbokgung Palace. That's really nice. Like, it's a lot more trees and gardens and lakes and stuff. The only downside is it's you have to follow the tour. You can't just wander the grounds yourself.
Do they at least have an English tour?
Yeah, they do, but it's like more spaced out. But you can kind of just follow like the Korean tour and look at the
signs that are in English.
Look at the signs. Yeah, that sort of stuff. So, you know.
What are they just scared people are going to touch stuff or something?
I don't know. It's like one of those UN World Heritage Sites. I think it's, you know, burned down before.
Okay.
So I think they're real touchy about that now.
Sure, gotcha.
Yeah.
No smoking during the tour.
What's your feeling at Insadong?
I really like Insadong, but I really liked it more back when it was kind of ghetto.
Oh, yeah?
Like, now it's all nicey-niced up.
Okay.
And our art galleries and shiny and spick and span. And yeah, gentrified, exactly.
Okay.
I liked it back when it was, like, only foreigners were the, like, they were the only people under the age of 800. And all the all the old people were wearing, like, their sort of casual hanbok.
Yes, okay.
You know, tons of tea shops, but none of them had tables that with chairs. Like, you had to sit on the floor everywhere.
Yes.
And a lot more of the really old bookstores.
Okay, right.
You know.
Antique shops and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, now it's become very, very touristy, like, you know, like,
the streets are a lot cleaner now.
Souvenirs and stuff like that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It used to be a lot cheaper. I remember the first time I took my mom there, I want to say we probably spent about 20 or 30 bucks and we got like a lifetime supply of souvenirs.
Yeah. It's a good place to sort of load up before you go home.
Yeah.
Souvenirs and stuff. Little stuff. I always call that like the flat things. Good for packing into suitcases and stuff.
The flat fans. I love.
Yeah. Fans and little glass cases and pencil cases and things like that, aprons. You can get some cool, you know, cooking aprons.
Yeah, and if you want to get some of the nice handwork, there, like, you can tell by the price if it's the mass-produced versus if it's the nice, good stuff. But if you want some nice handicrafts, you can definitely find a good selection there. But if pottery is the handicraft that you want to buy, then I would say make the trip out to Ichon because the price is at least half.
Okay, right. Except the celadon.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, it's a dong. Like, I think we've one street over, there's that Buddhist temple.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pretty.
Yeah. If you want to get kind of real authentic Buddhist crap, you know, I love the Buddhists have that little Buddhist backpack thingy. That's kind of cool, that backpack thingy they carry. I want to get one of those before I leave.
And I like their give me money thing. Tap, tap, tap.
Oh, right. They have the little gourd or something. Yeah. And they walk on. Tap, tap, tap. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Seoul Arts Center. That's at Nambu Station. It's a bus line. It connects up with a bus line. Nambu Station. Line 3. It's a bit of a hike, though. But it's sort of the big symphony, opera, art gallery complex.
Wow.
It's huge. It's just massive complex. And if you're into the symphony, you know, you get rush tickets, you know, stuff like that. But there's a big art gallery there. It's fun to walk around. There's a cool sort of musical fountain, light show thingy. Yeah, that's pretty nifty. And I believe there is a Starbucks at the Nambu Station, too, yes.
I believe you're correct.
Wow.
There's also all kinds of shopping for all your latest kitsch needs.
Where?
At Nambu. The whole thing. It's a big shopping mall now.
Oh, really?
Or is it Express Bus Terminal?
Might be Express Bus.
No, Express Bus Terminal,
Express Bus Terminal, yeah. Right, the underground thingy. There's a Shinsegae department store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lotte World. What's your feeling of Lotte World? Oh, when they're not killing people.
Yeah, when they're not killing people. I've never actually been to Lotte World. I've just been to the Chamshil, like the shopping mall that's attached to it.
Okay.
Which I quite like.
All right. I enjoyed Lotte World. It's not expensive for, you know, all you can use park pass. It's like 30 bucks. And, you know, one goes in rather skeptical, like how good could it be in the middle of a city, you know, in this little...
Indoor.
Indoor. Well, there's an indoor and outdoor component.
Yeah.
But it's amazing what they do with the space, and a lot of it's kind of like underground and stuff, the rides and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's one of those demon drops where it sort of goes up in the little tower, you know, and then you do a free fall. Ah!
Yeah,
there's one of those. That's kind of cool. And there's a roller coaster. And, of course, the Viking. The kids all like the Viking.
Oh, the Viking.
Yeah. And there's a flume ride. And one of those, like, you know, little round things. Water rides where it's like a little round thing and you go around. And yeah, it's got all the stuff and it's good. But what I like about it is the food is not outrageously priced.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like if you go to Disney World, I mean, forget it. You know,
Jesus.
Like $5 hot dog, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like price is there. It's like maybe, you know, it's like maybe a buck over what you would pay outside of the gate. It's incredibly reasonable, the prices. So yeah, wow. And then there's also a Lotte World Folk Museum, which is kind of attached, but you don't have to go to the park to get into the folk museum. Folk museum's kind of cool. It's about $5 to get in. That's nice. Nanta, have you seen Nanta?
I haven't.
No, really?
No, oh, I might take my sister when she's here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's really good, sort of take somebody too. It's like a cooking musical comedy. Yeah.
I think it's sort of based on Stomp.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with food.
Yeah, I always describe it as Stomp meets Tampopo. That sort of Japanese movie, Ode to Noodles or something. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of that musical noise, but instead of doing it with like oil drums, they do it with like knives on cutting boards and things. Yeah, yeah, and that is pretty cool. Man. Let's see. Yeah. Building 63, on the Yoido Island. That's a good place to stop. You can go right to the top, you know, the observation deck, kind of get a good look at apartment complexes, things like that. Yeah, Building 63 is kind of cool. But a lot used to be Seoul, Korea's tallest building, but I believe it's been eclipsed last few years.
Probably.
Yeah, but
they're always in that race, you know. Oh, we put a tower on.
Yeah.
We put like an aerial on top. It's taller.
That doesn't count according to the World Council on Tall Buildings.
Okay.
Yeah, but. Yeah, the Building 63, yeah, it's not Korea's tallest building anymore. But your kids usually still say it is. Yeah. What's the tallest building? Oh, Building 63. Yuksum building, they call it in Korean. Yeah. But yeah.
And if you're coming to Korea, you definitely need to go to the KNTO, Korea National Tourism Office, website.
Okay, right.
And if you are in Seoul, you can drop by their offices, and they're very helpful. Their offices are on Chungno, like, between Chungno Samga Station and Chonggak Station,
right, yeah.
But not on the main drag.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to maybe look on their website map to go there.
Yeah.
But they are very helpful.
There's little tourist booths all around the major areas downtown. Yeah. But I found as long as you've got a map and you've got, you know, maybe like your Lonely Planet guidebook or printouts from the internet, that very rarely do you ever have to stop and use the tourist.
Yeah, but the KNTO, like the main office, like they'll even help you. Like if you wanted to go to Gyeongju and were sort of scared to just hop on the city, you know, the inner city bus, they would help you plan it out and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for some of the more extensive trips and things like that. Yeah, I found it's sort of the touristy stuff is really well laid out here for for English sort of
and
English.
dirt cheap
like the observation deck for the Building 63 is like $6, you know. Toronto, if you want to go to the top of the CN Tower, that's like $30.
Might as well go to Disney World.
Yeah exactly. Oh man. All right. And I've got like a pretty huge list here, but I'll post up the other rest of the list up on our website.
If you are living in Seoul or in Gyeonggi, you could do something every single weekend the whole year you're here.
Yeah. I mean, I used to come here for two-week vacations. Yeah, and I found it was always easy to pack your two weeks with, you know, with something different every day for 2 weeks and stuff like that. Yeah.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
Oh, I was really busy this week finding English t-shirts.
I found four.
Wow.
That I actually wrote down.
All right, lay it on me.
The first one I saw just on the way over here today.
Okay.
Juicy Cupcake Couple.
Juicy Cupcake Couple, okay.
Yeah, and it was a person who was alone, so.
Oh, all right, not a couple set.
Yeah, and then yesterday I went to the Middle Eastern grocery store, so I was in Itaewon, and walking to the bus, I saw someone wearing Harry, Sally, and Me,
okay,
which I'm not really sure what that means. I'm sure it's somehow a reference to When Harry Met Sally, but, you know, whatever. And then if you have been to Itaewon, you know there's the nightclub at the top of that really steep set of stairs that has no rail.
Yes, okay.
Like a perfect place to get drunk people to walk down at the end of the night.
All right. Well, they refer to it as the stairs.
Oh, okay.
People just go...
I would call it the stairs of death, personally.
You know the stairs? Oh, yeah. Those stairs. That's an amazing set of stairs.
Yeah, it's an amazing set of stairs with no rail and with a bar at the top.
Rail? Oh, is that what at the top is?
Yeah.
All right. I've never really been compelled to go up those stairs.
Yeah, I guess the way you would definitely know if you should not drive is if you die on the way down.
Wow.
But there was a guy at the bottom selling t-shirts, and one, I didn't write it down until I got on the bus, so it was like 15 minutes later, but it said roughly something like, how to put on your clothes, plastic bag directions work. Which I thought was pretty cool. And if the guy had not been like standing there staring at me, I probably would have taken a picture, but he was. And then the other day on my way to work, I saw a good one. It was like a scroll design logo that said Ride Mania in the scroll. And then the main part said Dario D-Day, nice play. Which, it was really, I enjoyed seeing that on the way to work, because then I spent like my entire subway ride trying to figure out what kind of game would combine agribusiness and military history.
Wow.
So those are my English t-shirts for the week.
You know, the stair thing. In Montreal, there was, there still is, there's a big church called St. Joseph's Oratory Catholic Church. And those stairs in Itaewon, they're nothing compared to the stairs at this church. It's just like, I don't know how many stairs.
Like European cathedral style?
Just massive. And there's like two sets of stairs. There's stairs for walking up. And there's these special stairs, wood stairs. All right. And those stairs, you go up on your knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? They used to show, I think it might have been when we still got AFN. They would show some place in Europe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably
similar. You crawl up on your knees, but it's like, I don't know, 1,000 steps or something.
Yeah. Probably based on, And yeah, but you say a prayer every step. Yeah, I don't know. And then you get to the top, and I don't know, then you're healed of whatever.
What, if you've sinned far too much for a rosary, you can go up on your knees?
Well, there's also a gift shop up there. And you know, with like $20 rosaries. It's the gift shop. If anything would turn you off of organized religion, it's the gift shop. You go in there and it's just like, oh my God, you know, why does anybody need, you know, well, this is Montreal, Quebec, you know, so, but why does anybody need a religious theme, you know, beer cap opener, you know what I mean? Like, and why would you pay $25 for it? You know,
right.
I don't know. But yeah, but then the guy who built it, Brother Andre, is dead now. And but he's on the road to sainthood, and you know, there's like all of these crutches and wheelchairs, you know, all the people have been healed
by crawling upstairs on their knees.
But you know, but you look, and this, nowhere do you see like a wooden leg or a glass eye. You know what I mean? It's like, how come God can, you know, heal you, you know, get, you know, your spinal injury, but you know, Make that leg grow back, you know, or make that eye come back in. Odd that. So, yeah. But then Brother...
Oh, ye of little faith.
Brother Andre, his heart was preserved in a case.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and now it used to be out where people could look at it and, you know, venerate it. And then somebody stole it.
Yes.
And God, it must have gotten missing for like 10 years until they found it again. But
how did they find it?
I don't know. I don't even know why the guy stole it. I'll have to research that. I just think he was maybe some
college student was too poor to pay for his lab supplies.
Yeah, I don't know. But man, I guess this is just not bash my Catholic upbringing time. This is actually English t-shirt finds. Mine, and I've got pictures of these. So one is Mickey is independent, period, burn leader. And I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. And this one was, that was on a guy. This one a woman was wearing. The English part hot money, but sexery. And then there was a pot leaf graphic. Yeah.
Is sexery like luxurious sex?
Could be, I don't know. But hot money is one word.
Yeah. Well, as if it would be two.
Why would you make it two? That's true. And then this was a little stencil I saw to go along with it. There's, if you go in Shinchan, there's like, you know, F Japs stencil all over the place. But in Myeongdong, I saw a stencil. Instead of the little I heart New York, and then a little bomb, you know, little sort of the round, you know.
Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah. Little bomb, round, you know, bomb thing. So I bomb New York. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of mean. I don't know.
Yeah, and I would not suggest wearing that on a trip to the States.
Yeah, really. You may not know what it means, but trying to get through American customs, it might not be. Yeah. That was sort of the t-shirts. And the weird thing I saw, this really freaked me out. City Hall Starbucks, in front of the City Hall Starbucks.
That really awesome one? The one that looks like a temple? Like it's got the tile roof and it's painted in... Okay.
No, this one's... It's actually in the Canadian Embassy office. Okay. But the Kumho. Or is it Come On? No, I think maybe it's Kumho. One of those.
But another Starbucks in the City Hall vicinity.
Yeah.
At any rate.
Yeah, the Canadian Embassy is in the Kumho building. I think that's what it is. And I think I've deduced what office the Canadian ambassador sits in. There's, I think on the floor where the Canadian embassy, there's one office that has an extra air conditioning unit built in. And I think, yeah, that's probably where the ambassador is. Cause it's,
yeah. That's so, how you know you got power.
Exactly. So that boy, if you ever wanted to take out the Canadian ambassador, that's where you would aim your rocket launcher right there. That would probably take him out, yeah. But I don't know. So there's a Pojong matcha kind of in front of that. And the Ajumma working there, one day I watched her. She just sort of walked out from behind her little Pojong matcha, and there's these two pigeons fighting. She reached down, picked them up, and then sort of nestled them like maybe you would do with a little cat. Pigeons. And then sort of sat down on some steps and was petting them, you know?
Those are some domesticated birds.
Yeah, during her break. And I thought, isn't that just like picking up rats and petting some rats? Like, oh my God, yeah. So any desire I ever had to maybe eat at that.
Well, yeah. I mean, after I saw the bin of water that...
Oh, right.
Because they don't have running water, so they just have like a bin of water that gets used all night to wash the dishes.
Yeah, that'll turn you off.
You know, and they don't use soap. A student of mine finally explained to me why they don't use soap to wash their dishes. It's bad for the environment.
Of course, yes. All right. Yes, of course.
Having 87 million cars on the road in Seoul is not bad for the environment.
Yeah.
You know, having factories with like no air quality control is not bad for the environment, but washing your dishes with soap, that's going to be the death of us all.
Yeah, I know. Man. You know, speaking about water, it's one thing people are always sort of freaked out about is the water here. Like, you know, is the water safe to drink? Is the water safe to brush your teeth, cook with?
It is. Yeah. It just tastes bad.
Yeah, it tastes really bad. Not bad, but it tastes like.
Mine tastes like water on a camping trip. Like there were some sticks in the water, and you took out the sticks and drank the water.
Yeah, the water's got, it does not have a refreshing taste at all. It's almost metallic or there's something in it that doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I would just attribute it to whatever they put in it to disinfect it. But I don't think there's anything really wrong with the water.
No, there's not.
Cooking and brushing your teeth, you just don't drink it as...
Yeah, I use it to cook with unless it's something that's so mild flavored that I think that it might affect the flavor of what I'm making.
Yeah. 2 points. It's like, well, you know, there's always this worry that maybe there's heavy metals in the water. And I'm like, well, you know, you're only here for a year, couple years, right? you're not going to accumulate.
I'm dead.
Yeah, you're not going to accumulate enough heavy metals in those couple of years. I mean, look at the Koreans. People live their whole lives here.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't dropping dead of, you know, mercury poison.
Yeah.
I'd
say, you know, you're probably better off not eating fish.
Yeah, exactly.
Than not drinking the water.
I've been eating fish back in North America. So, yeah, don't get paranoid about the water here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't throw your money away on bottled water for, like, brushing your teeth or even...
No, that's silly.
Yeah, yeah. But...
But for drinking.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Unless you have no taste buds whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't drink the water to be refreshed.
Wow. Maybe if you smoke a couple packs a day, you won't really notice the difference, but, you know.
But this is one of these, you know, your stick-to-itiveness meme. I saw this and I thought, instantly, I'm like, that is stick-to-itiveness. The Starbucks in Myeongdong, they're doing road construction.
Yeah.
And the one I always complain about, like, why would anybody drive on that road Saturday afternoon?
I know.
Yeah. But it's been made worse now that they've torn it all up.
Yeah.
So they've completely torn it up and they only have two little narrow pedestrian ways.
Which are just covered with cloth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not paved.
Yeah. So, and they're not very wide and they really are unidirectional.
Yeah.
So you can't just sort of, can't walk two abreast. All right, so I'm sort of sitting at, you know, Starbucks, and I'm at the window, and I look up, and there's a guy on a scooter.
Yes.
Trying to, like, plow his way through.
The scooter is about at least as wide as the pedestrian area. It's only, like, 2 feet wide on either side.
Yeah. So he reaches this choke point, you know, because they've got a Cold Stone Creamery with all of its, you know, grand opening array out in front. And the guy's kind of looking like, how am I going to get through there? And he's sort of, you know, but I can't really turn around because I can't go backwards on this. And there's no room to turn around. And
nobody in line is going to get out of the way so you can go through.
Yeah. So I pulled up my little camera and put it in the movie setting and I filmed them. Because this is just too amazing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I put it up on YouTube, on our little Go Korea YouTube section. And he does make it through eventually. But, yeah. But, and there's almost a little kind of like, thank you, God, upskirt moment at the end of the video. Because the Cold Stone Creamery has got this air conditioning duct that shoots out a lot of air. You know? So just as there's a woman in a little flouncy skirt behind him, and just as the motorcycle got through, the wind just sort of blew her skirt up. But it wasn't one of those true thank God moments. It just, you don't see anything, but, you know, a little bit of an enticement. But I'm like, ooh, Jesus, I almost really captured a, you know.
Kind of like that new soda commercial they've got, where the girl is walking down the street and, like, twirling her skirt whenever she takes a sip of the drink.
Oh, really?
Or something like that.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty obnoxious.
No, man. So, yeah. But you know, what freaks me out is because it's nasty looking, all this construction, you know? And again, it's just, there's just another high capacity road right next, parallel to it. So you're coming on your scooter, like, why would you go?
No sane person would look at that area and go, I'm going to drive down there.
Exactly. Why not just go, I don't know, I'll just go up, go on the high capacity street. And they've actually opened up the, because usually that part of Myeongdong is blocked off during the day, road traffic,
Unless you just drive on there anyway.
Yeah, but the sort of, you know, they ran the detour through there. So I have no idea why. But it just wasn't once I saw it. In like the space of a half an hour, I saw three people on motorbikes trying to get through there. Just amazing.
Yeah.
So you'll see some entertaining video. And I've got some pictures too.
Yeah.
Man.
I had a good entertaining sight, but did not have a camera. There were four of us and nobody had a camera.
Really?
We're on the subway Friday night.
Okay.
And there was a guy sleeping on the subway, and to prepare himself for his subway nap, he laid out a newspaper on the floor, took off his shoes, tucked them behind him, and was in his toe sock feet sleeping on the subway.
Wow.
It was awesome.
my sister in Windsor. Sometimes why I feel right at home in Seoul. I always find these parallels between Seoul and my hometown of Windsor. My sister is working at like a convenience store, and some homeless guy came in. Starts like the lower shelf, like the bread shelf. Starts clearing the bread products off of there, and is trying to decide he's going to go to sleep right there.
Sometimes you need a nap.
Yeah.
Come on.
And my sister's like, "What are you doing? Hello, you can't do that. Get out." You know, I don't know why that would even occur to the guy. Like, you know,
but it's just so bed-like and flat.
I know. Pretty creative thinking, but
you have to give him points for creativity.
Exactly. And my other kind of weird, high weirdness is, you know, the cars who are parked in parking lots where they shouldn't be parked. Like, a lot of times apartment lots. And they have these stickers they slap on the windshield. It's like, you know.
Yeah, those guys have been out in force by work this week.
Yeah, and those are really nasty stickers because you can't peel them off.
And they're big.
Yeah.
They're like B5 paper size.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you got to probably use some sort of solvent. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know alcohol will work. They have those in North America, those kind of stickers, like, you know, don't park here. So, but they're not usually applied with such commonality.
Not applied with, like, rubber cement.
Yeah. And which is weird because, like, the show posters, you know, this show, they're just put on with a little bit of tape. And they're very easy to take down and put up in your apartment.
Or maybe they feel like that's a better deterrent.
Yeah.
Maybe put something that, like, ruins your paint job would be a good deterrent.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah. So it's always funny to see people driving around their cars with, like, the sticker that they actually peeled off, but it's left about half of the sticker still in the windshield.
Yeah. Somebody, I think, was probably going to be pretty upset the other day. When I left work, I saw they had two of them stuck to their windshield.
Oh, Jesus, too.
Like, you didn't move fast enough, so here's another one.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Because those little retired, you know, agencies.
Yeah, it's the little Hitlers. Their only power is to tell you not to park there.
They got lots of time to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just occurs to me, those stickers, in North America, they might constitute a liability. You know what I mean? If you've blocked somebody's vision, now they've got into an accident, and
in Korean news.
In the news, UCC, user created content, that's the big thing here now. Yeah, everyone's going sort of UCC, UCC, I don't know, sort of, you know, YouTube. Was it Naver or Dom or one of the Korean search engines? They partnered with Google, YouTube recently. Yeah. Although Google is in hot water all the time in Korea. It's like, the latest one is, you know, they've got a lot of place names wrong in their Google, you know, their Google Earth. And of course, you know, Dokdo, they call Lin Court Rocks, and I don't know, they had Sea of Japan for a while. They probably changed to EC/Sea of Japan. And, Jeju-do, they actually have the Japanese name for those islands.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, now that one I can understand, but the things that are disputed,
yeah,
you know, going with the one that the whole rest of the world goes by,
So people are just, they're just really dumping bricks here over a lot of those Google Earth things, and I don't know. So a lot of spelling mistakes and stuff like that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, those will all get corrected eventually. But, I mean, they're dealing with the whole world, you know.
Yeah.
And there's got to be things coming in from Russia and Brazil and a billion things, you know.
And not to mention, Korea has changed the romanization system twice since I've been here.
Right, yeah. There was another big stink, too, about how the Google Earth, where they were still using the old system.
Because the old one makes more sense.
Yeah, and they're really upset about that. And then, and there was a funny thing where the guy's like, you know, well, what if the Korean media was always getting George Bush's name wrong? You know,
they do.
Yeah, exactly. They call him Bushy. Right? So I'm like,
Joji Bushy.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, wait. But they do. Yeah. So I don't know. So yeah, Google's in always crazy hot water here. And So, but user creating content, there's a presidential election coming up, and that's one of those great things you sort of really appreciate about, especially about America, is you don't really even understand about the freedoms you enjoy during elections.
Yeah.
Instead of come here and like last presidential election, like, you know, people were putting up parody websites and they were being arrested and fined and there was a huge stink. Like you're just not allowed to do that. You know, you cannot like put up a website with a presidential candidate with devil horns.
Yeah.
Forget about it. You are violating election law.
Yeah. And you pick the guy you like and be respectful.
Yeah. You can
don't pick the other guy and make fun of him.
Yeah. So, but they're actually sort of looking at sort of repealing those or getting some tolerance for that, because it's so huge now.
Yeah.
The user created content that, you know, it's like, well, what's wrong with it exactly? You know what?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But again, remember, you know, reputations here have a certain not respect, but people place a lot more value in reputations.
Yeah, and it kind of like the Jerry Falwell, Larry Flint kind of thing, but the opposite. Like, I think they don't think that people will have the sense of understanding that something's a joke.
Right.
Like,
right,
maybe this candidate is not really a devil.
Right. Maybe the devil, yes. Well, the people of Venezuela certainly, I think, believe that George Bush is the devil, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's limited to Venezuela.
El Diablo. Oh, boy. But, yeah. So, I don't know. That should be sort of interesting.
Yeah.
See what happens there. But, yeah, it's a good appreciation that you get of sort of the openness of your own sort of electoral system, especially the American system. You know, it was Fahrenheit 9/11. I remember seeing that in Seoul. And I just saw that. I'm just like, you could never make a movie like that in Korea during a presidential election, you know, and that whether you agree with the movie or not, or like Michael Moore or not, you know, that movie can play like, you know, a week before presidential elections is a very interesting sort of testimony to the openness.
I have to say, of all the places I've lived, I think Australia had the best election system.
Really?
They, one day on the news, they said, we're going to have an election in 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And they had an election 6 weeks later.
Okay.
And that was it.
Right.
There was not, you know, 3.8 years build up to the election.
Okay.
You know, and it was very simplified compared to the American system. And if you are an adult, you are required to vote in Australia.
Really? Okay.
But they make it really easy. Like, your boss has to let you go vote.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Canada, could technically take the day off to go vote too.
Yeah.
A right I would occasionally exercise. You know, I am taking my legally mandated half day and I'm going to vote. Bye.
No, in America, when they like make all these complaints, 8 bazillion people voted in American Idol and 12 voted in the last presidential election.
Right.
Well, there's a reason for that, and that is the polls are open not very extended hours.
Really? Okay.
Compared to the workday,
right.
And it's on a workday, and unless you have like the nicest boss ever, or you work hourly and they let you clock out early, you can't go during work hours, you know.
But the thing I like about the American system is you just don't go vote for the idiot, you vote for everything, you know.
Yeah,
do you want a red light on this corner? Yes or no? You know, there's referendums and
there's referendums that are not advertised properly beforehand.
That's true too. Right.
And then it has 53 pages of stuff you can read in the booth.
Right, yeah.
And when you came in, there was like a line of 200 people behind you to use the 4 booths that are there.
Okay.
So you sort of feel an obligation not to take the time necessary to fully read it, because it's not put in everyday English at all.
Right, yeah.
It's in the original legalese.
That's one of the suggestions why America has such low voter turnout, is because there's too much choice versus in parliamentary systems where there's almost no choice, you know.
Yeah.
I remember during the Mulroney years, Mulroney had a referendum on the Constitution, and you know, it's one of the few times we ever get to vote on anything other than just a politician. I think we all voted it down, you know, just because it was fun to vote something down, you know. Man. But Australia, it's like a parliamentary system where they call an election whenever they want.
Yeah.
That has the good advantage, right? That it's not, you know exactly when the election's going to be, like in America.
And then the politicians can like do their job the rest of the time.
Right, yeah.
They're not like out there getting campaign dollars. And also you elect a party, not a person. Like they have a leader, but the day after the election, the person can step down and their second person can step in.
So the party leaders, the people you vote for, you know, you vote for the party or you vote for your local member of parliament or you vote for the guy who you want to be prime minister. But that selection is done whenever. Usually, you know, maybe a couple of years even before the election. Whoever is the leader of the party, that's who is running for prime minister. So yeah, you don't have the primaries and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There are definitely advantages and disadvantages to both systems. And I mean, you know, as the grass is greener on the other side, as the Canadian who lived in America, I came to appreciate many of the things in the American legal system, you know, or electoral system, when it works.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, and then June 14th was Kiss Day. Did you know?
Kiss, the greatest band on the face of the earth.
No, that would be Kiss Army Day. No, Kiss. Yeah. No, like what's Kiss? Popo.
Yeah.
Popo. Yeah. So Kiss Day, because you know it's the 14th. You know, all the 14ths have some holiday. So you know.
So they ran out of colors, and now it's Kiss Day.
Now it is Kiss Day. Yeah. So I was in Myeongdong. And there was a man and a woman, and they had little heart signs and some crap. And the woman was like wearing like, she was quite leggy, and she had these little pink shorts. And some sort of like walking by, and then some English reporter woman sort of grabs me, and she's like, it's Kiss Day. Do you want to be kissed? You know. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you know, they're kissing. They'll kiss you. And I'm like, okay, you know, all right. So yeah, so they just like shove me through the people, and then they, you know, the race queen. They described her as the race queen. So, but it was like photo opportunity kind of thing. So there's like a billion cameras and video cameras, and then the little race queen model, she sort of plants this little kiss on my cheek and then kind of holds it there for about, I don't know, it seemed like hours really.
While the video was being directly sent to Taejon.
Yeah. So, yeah, really.
Foreign teacher molesting private citizen.
Exactly. So then the next day I scoured all the newspapers to see if I made it into print, but no such luck. Yeah, it was my one moment.
Well, I wonder what that was for then.
Well, it was Kiss Day, but I guess it was also some sort of lingerie company was sort of trying to, little promotion or something like that, but.
Someday when you least expect it, there you'll be.
Yeah, so, but one of the newspapers, they used the picture, but not me, just some Korean guy. Usually they like to have some foreigner in the pictures, the English papers, something like that. But then the reporter dragged me out after, and then she's asking me all these questions, and what do you think of Kiss Day? And you know, and you got to come up with the kind of the
correct answer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the lamest thing I've ever heard of.
Exactly, the correct answer, that sort of stuff. But one time I did make it onto Korean television. Sponge TV. You ever see Sponge TV?
No, I haven't.
I had no idea what it is either, actually. But one day, there was some thing where they're, like, offering a beverage, you know. Mm-hmm. Try this beverage. So a guy's like, test this beverage. And, all right, so I test the beverage. And like, well, what do you think about it? And I'm like, it's refreshing, you know. They're like, okay, whatever. And then, like, next day, like, all my students, like, teacher, you were on Sponge TV. I'm like, what? But it was online, so I could go see it. You know, they use, like, you know, 5 seconds, like, 2 seconds, and be like, it's refreshing, you know. But all my students saw it, you know, and they were so excited.
That's so funny.
Kiss.
Talking, kissing, just what you feel. Lying in the grass with the sun on the back. It doesn't really matter what we do.
this week's teaching opportunity?
Job opportunity. Let's see. This one is in Nowon, which is in northern Seoul. Sangaedong. That's actually really close to where I live. And this is
I have to say that I like how the ad explains that Seoul is a city with 10 million people. In case you're thinking of working in Korea and have never heard of Seoul.
Oh, right, okay. Or have only a vague idea of the population. Well, you know, actually, that would actually be... probably people have no concept of, you know, the size of the city, you know.
Yeah.
And, so maybe... Yeah, there are 10 million people here, and, you know, Saturday in Myeongdong, you will feel their presence.
Yes. There are some 9 million will be in Myeongdong on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you will feel their presence at times. But other times, it's like, is this really a big city? I don't know. You know,
I think it depends also what part of the city you're in.
Yeah, exactly. So the start date is September 1st. So
wow, yeah, planning ahead.
Yeah, so lots and lots of time.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, let's see, elementary to middle school, 12 students per class, working times, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 9:30 p.m., and Tuesday, Thursday, 2 to 7:20 p.m. That's not too bad, actually, getting out when you, if you finish work about 7:20, you know, you still got, especially in summer, well, here, no, it won't be summer when you come here, but summer, still daylight out, and go do some stuff, even meet friends, you know, who work during the day. Let's see, pay is pretty good, 2.3 million won, you know, furnished single housing, 10-minute walking distance to work.
Dental insurance.
Really good dental insurance? Oh,
so it
dental.
Says medical and dental. That's a real unusual thing, and I kind of wonder if they are mistaken.
Maybe, I
because Korean national health insurance for Koreans does include dental, but the foreign coverage does not.
Maybe they go at their own private.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 50-50. Yeah, because I remember my school was like trying to get me on their own private health care. And that was like, it was like $200 a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
No, mine has me on private insurance. It's $100,000 a year.
Okay.
It's really like get hit by a bus insurance.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier today, I haven't been to the doctor in 3 years. I'm not a big fan of doctors, so that suits me just fine.
See, as a man, you know, you traditionally don't go to the doctor. You know? But God, I've had enough girlfriends where that would freak them out. You know, what do you mean you don't go to the doctor? Because most women, you know, go to the doctor a lot. You know, health is more important to women than men. You know. And, you know, it's all kind of fun when you're, like, 21.
Yeah.
But when you're older and, you know, that says to sort of a woman, like, this guy doesn't take care of himself. He's going to die when he's 55, you know. And I'm going to be, you know, I'll be 55 and I'll be old and crusty and I won't be able to get a man. I want a guy who's going to at least live as long as me, you know. And so the long and short of it is just swallow your pride and any fear you have of anal probing and just go to the doctor, you know, and just put the woman's mind at ease, you know what I mean? Yes,
gotcha.
Honey, I go to the doctor, I take care of my health, you know, I will live as long as you and I will not leave you a widow at age 55. And I don't know, women just have those kind of fears, you know, so just anything you can do to sort of assuage those little fears, I find is, even if you have to get fisted by the doctor. Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah. Remember, used to go a woman doctor in Canada. You know, healthcare is free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very attractive woman doctor. And she would always, like, examine you down there for testicular cancer and stuff like that. And, but I was always, like, you know, professional. She's a doctor. And it was all fine, you know. But then one day it occurred to me, I'm like, what if some guys get off on this? You know what I mean? Like, because she was attractive, you know? So, like, and the government's paying for it, you know? You know, I get to expose myself to a pretty woman and she touches me down there and it's free, you know? So then I began to think, you know, if she was doing, like, a mental assessment, of all my male patients who are perverts, which one would it be? Carl. You know, so I began to worry that maybe she would think that's why I was there, you know. And so ever since then, like, I would go in and my blood pressure would be abnormally high. She would take my little blood pressure and it'd just be like, it's kind of high, but it made me think you're just a bit nervous. Well, you know, maybe it's the, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, in the Army, which of course has a lot of young men, there was an attractive young female doctor. Okay. Most military doctors are pretty young because they're just paying off their medical school debts, you know. Yeah.
And the Army would happy to pay them, right?
Yeah, and the modesty measures were, it was like a handkerchief that they would hold in front of themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Wow, no.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for the guys.
Why?
Because, you know, these guys are like 19, 20 years old. And there's a very attractive female doctor, not considerably older than themselves. Filling them up.
Yeah. I remember in Seattle, I had a Japanese doctor, and you never had to take a stitch of clothing off for him. So I kind of like that. But which is good, because I remember his nurse, we became friends, because she always would come into the Starbucks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, thank God, because I don't want to now be friends with her and have to now disrobe in front of her.
Yeah.
That would not work at all. Yeah. So, yeah. Man.
Anyway, back to the ad.
Yeah, so Sangae no One, it's a little tiny bit remote from all the core stuff.
But it does say a two-bedroom house for a couple.
I guess if you are a couple, they might be.
That's a pretty good deal, because I've had couple housing that was a one-room. So a two-bedroom apartment is a good deal however you can get it.
Yeah. Well, I neglected to mention, this is from our Kim's ESL.com site.
Yep.
Yes, okay. And, but it's a sort of a straight shot down line 4 into the city. It was a good location because they used to have a Carrefour, which was a really good...
Home Ever now.
Yeah, now it's a Home Ever, so it's like whatever. So, yeah, I'm really disappointed by Home Ever.
It could be worse.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It can't be any worse.
My Home Ever isn't all that much different from Carrefour. Only a few products have changed.
Really?
Yeah.
I just like Carrefour for their 90-cent bread, loaves of bread, their cheap coffee, all of which shot up enormously in price when it became Home Ever. I don't know. Yeah. And I think the downside, too, is the students. It's a very middle class neighborhood. And, like, your parents are...
Most of my students' parents are white collar professionals.
Yeah, yeah, so doctors and engineers and stuff like that. Here it's, like, people who sell cell phones and kind of, you know, lower white collar salespeople, that kind of stuff. So your kids lead less interesting lives, you know, than maybe your students. Sort of
that can be a good thing, though.
Maybe.
My students are sort of...
snobby?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
A little hard to impress with the little things.
Okay.
And so, they take a lot for granted.
All right. Less of the snob factor then. Yeah, but all around, it's not a bad place. That's our show. So the Catiesel thing went off okay. The woman who did the talk about...
Oh, Grace Wong is always a great speaker. She's a Korea University professor.
Okay.
And very, very motivating and very interesting speaker. So, yeah.
Okay.
A good time was had by all.
Getting your shy students to talk. Is that more for like a university level?
No, actually she had... she just sort of... gave general information of, like, the psychological factors involved, you know, like, how the teacher needs to act with the students. Like, you have to encourage their tiniest accomplishments and, don't point out all of their mistakes.
Okay.
But also, even stuff that you don't even think about, like, Korean students don't know how foreigners talk. Like, you just don't walk up to someone and say, hi, what's your name and what are your hobbies?
Okay.
You know, you do a little eye contact first, maybe a nod and a smile.
Okay.
You know, like, there's definite social cues that we usually forget to think about.
Okay.
But they are different in Korean. And so teaching the social cues, teaching rejoinders, like, oh, that's great. Wow, really? Oh, that's too bad. You know, those kind of things. So,
okay.
When you say something like, I got a raise, it's not met with dead silence. Or, you know, my mom died.
Right, okay, right, yes.
You know. So, a lot of good practical stuff like that.
Okay. Right.
And our next meeting will be the third Saturday of July, which I have no idea what the date is.
Okay.
Like a month from yesterday. And it will be an ideas exchange, so there's no actual speaker. Everyone sort of gets like 5 to 10 minutes, and if you want to tell someone your great classroom activity, you can. If you just want to come and soak up the informational goodness, you can do that as well.
All right. Wow.
And as always, it is free, and we have snacks.
What kind of snacks?
Well, all kinds of coffee and tea mixes, and sodas and juices, and... cookies.
You know you've been living in Korea a long time when you actually won't refuse one of those mixes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And let's see. So next weekend's my birthday weekend. So if it's not raining, then I'm going away. But staying in Seoul.
Right. Going away to Gangnam.
Yeah, I'm going to go stay in that. I posted a bunch of photos of the Imperial Palace on the blog. Yeah. You can kind of see the back of my head in one of the bathroom mirror shots.
Oh, okay.
And, so maybe not a podcast next week. But if... It looks like it's going to be rain. Because the rainy season is also, they're predicting, is going to start next week.
Oh, already?
Yeah, I know. It seems a bit early. I don't know.
But the weather's been weird this year anyway, so.
I don't know how to predict that crap. I guess maybe satellites. Do they got
sure.
They can
I don't
see,
know. They're always wrong anyway.
They can see things coming.
Tomorrow there's going to be 4 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Or the temperature's going to go up 3 degrees, one or the other.
Yeah. So maybe not a podcast next week, but then who knows? Maybe there will be. So stay not tuned, but stay finger on the download button on your iTunes or however you.
Or subscribe and
get
it automatically.
Yeah, so just check your iPod to see if it's popped in there. All right. Any other pressing news? I guess not. All right. So it's a little bit of a down show this week. My mind is elsewhere. My friend's little 5-year-old, you know. It's so sad. You know. He's got cute little feet, though. It's so fun to go in there. He's in his little bed. He's got these little hospital pajamas.
Oh, I bet those are super cute on a little kid.
Oh, they're so cute, the little hospital pajamas they give him. And, yeah. Remember when I was in the hospital in Seattle? They give you socks.
Really?
Yeah, that was cool. They don't give you socks in Canadian hospitals, but they give you those little socks with like the super gripper things at the bottom.
So you can't fall down and sue.
I guess so. I never thought about that. Yeah.
It is America. Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know, my friend, you know, I immediately start giving her reasons to sue for medical malpractice. You know, when she's telling me about this doctor, I'm like...
As if.
Yeah. I'm like, he warned you about no symptoms to look out for. He just said... He's okay, go home, never said you. If he has, you know, any sinus problems, call me right away, get him right to the hospital. Didn't give her any warning about it, like symptoms. Couldn't be bothered, you know.
And well, then, was the condition made worse by waiting?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure.
So then he definitely was remiss.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's weird, too. It's like the doctors are saying, no, it's, you know, mercury caused all that damage, you know. But, I mean, everything I've found is, like, all the poison control centers, there's never been one case of a child having mercury poisoning from these batteries. That, you know, it's all been this hydroxide created by the, you know, by the electricity in the nose. So, but their doctors are telling her it's the mercury. Now, mercury is corrosive, but
if the battery wasn't physically compromised.
Yeah, exactly. And then I keep asking her, well, have they got the mercury? You know, have they got this blood and urine tests back to see if there's mercury? And she's like, no, they haven't got it back yet. So I'm like, well, how can they say it's mercury if they don't have even the tests back? You know. So then I'm like, well, okay. There's a thing called chelation. Okay, if you've got heavy metals, there's a thing doctors can do to sort of leach the heavy metals out called chelation. So you know, if it comes back positive, then I don't think it will. And two, if you have mercury poisoning, there's definite symptoms. There's like vomiting and dizziness, and you know, none of which she
not a secret illness.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, but you know, ask the doctor about chelation therapy then, you know, like, oh God, I don't know, man.
I think here it's much different than overseas. Like you don't go in with your list of how you want to be treated, you know. In this scenario, I want you to take care of me in this way. I think their version of that is, I want you to prescribe this drug.
Yeah.
And since the doctor's probably getting a kickback from the pharmacy anyway, that's a little different.
Yeah.
But I don't think you really question the diagnosis or the cure.
No, I mean, especially, I mean, these days, you know, with Google in North America, we go in forearmed, forewarned, you know, and we kind of know what we want. And if the doctor says something, then we can kind of research it. Yeah, but here it is still very much like you don't question the doctor. And, you know when my friend, I'm telling her, well, why did the doctor warn you about symptoms? Why didn't he do this? You know, like flush and fill the nose, you know, like. And so she's asking the hospital doctor, like, well, yeah, why did the primary care doctor do that? And the hospital doctor's like, well, why did you have these batteries out in the open? You know, just.
Oh, yeah, it's completely your fault
completely
in the first place.
Yeah.
So the doctor had no need to correct the situation.
Exactly. But it's like, you know, well, whatever the case, you know, doctors still have a certain role in, you know, exercising, you know, due care and stuff. I don't know. So, all right, that's our show. Send us email at gokorea@gmail.com or www.gokorea.info for links to all kinds of various stuff. And I think I'm going to put a link up there for top touristy sites and stuff like that. My little guide to Seoul, touristy sites and things like that. I even did one for the Starbucks of Seoul. It's quite out of date now, though, but maybe I'll throw that up there as well.
The Starbucks tour of Seoul.
Yeah.
You know what? You could probably walk around the whole city just going to Starbucks. Like, you would never get too tired because you'd have a coffee in between.
Don't think I haven't tried it. No, there's that river. That's the problem, though. The river.
Oh.
Yeah, that comes in the way. So you got to kind of break it down to Northern Seoul and Southern Seoul. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.